Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 45% off selected products. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get some damn sleep. Go get a Serta, people. America's most recognized brand of mattress. American-made, Michigan-made, and always the highest quality. Check out the entire lineup of mattresses at over 150 retailers in the metro area. Closeouts, the iComfort series in the closeout event. Go to Serta.com to find a retailer near you. Buy today, get delivery within a week. No waiting around or sold-out nonsense. Get some rest. Get a Serta.
It is one of my favorite elements of sports. It's one of my favorite elements of covering sports the way that we do here on this national network. It is a privilege when I can be a fan, but also get to sit here in this chair, especially on a Sunday night in which we had a trio of game sevens. I absolutely love serving as a witness to history in sports. Your girl is a history buff. And it seems like no matter how long I do this, which is now 25 years, give or take a year here or two, no two shows are ever the same. No two months are ever the same. No two playoff runs are ever the same. And when you throw game sevens in the mix, all bets are off. Even those of you who believe that you make a nice supplement to your income gambling on sports, game sevens, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Because in game sevens, you throw everything out the window except a lot of those qualities that don't necessarily register with the latest and greatest analytical formula. Oh, so much about game sevens boils down to heart and soul and experience and poise and the ability to perform under pressure. So much of it boils down to resiliency and rebounding after a play or a series, even a quarter or a period, don't go your way. So much of it is about leadership, mental toughness, physical toughness. When you're talking game seven, am I the only one who noticed that there were some guys who were tired and having to push through on Sunday in their game sevens? So as we bid farewell to April, what? And usher in the month of May, a trio of game sevens offer us unforgettable moments, the kind of history we'll be talking about for years. For the Golden State Warriors, the Seattle Kraken, and the Florida Panthers.
Back behind the net, Matthew Tkachuk gets there first, and he's upended back behind the goal. Loose puck behind the net, loose at the side of the net. Jamming away is Tkachuk with Bennett along the near boards. Bennett finds it to the circle. Verhage shot, top shelf, he scores! Carter Verhage, top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime! The Panthers stun the Bruins in Boston, and the Panthers are moving on to round two! Carter Verhage, the Panthers have won it in overtime! 4-3 the final! The Panthers take game seven, and they're moving on!
MacKinnon still looks for options, looks up top, knocked away by Bjorkstrand. He'll chase it at the red line and dive to poke it away. 10 seconds left here in game seven. This is Rodriguez in to the far side. Lekkonen in behind the net. 6 seconds to go. All the way back to the near side. MacKinnon hit off the puck, thrown out in front. There's the horn. A team that defied the haters They roll their eyes at the naysayers, and now they have defeated the defending Stanley Cup champions in 7 games. The next wave is crashing into the next round. The Seattle Kraken are heading to the Western Conference semis.
On Murray takes a quick three. It's up and good! Curry knocked it down! He's got 43. Draymond gets the inbounds back to Curry, takes a three, and hits it with the buzzer sounding. Are you kidding me? Curry will bring it up. Curry drives, scores. He's got 50. A 50-point playoff game for Stephen Curry in a Game 7.
As it turns out, the most ever in a Game 7 in NBA history. That's something Steph Curry is used to. We're used to now, after over a decade of Steph's shenanigans. And yes, I do that. I say that with a smile on my face. Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network. Before that, the Seattle Kraken taking out the defending Stanley Cup champions. So both defending champs were on the line, on the ropes in a Game 7 on Sunday. The Warriors survive. The Avalanche do not. But the history is significant. The Kraken, with all of the excitement in Seattle over their brand new baby hockey team, they win a Game 7 on the road in Denver. And in doing so, they now actually have playoff history. Congratulations to the Kraken. We're going to talk about it later this week. It's time to find a new Kraken analyst to join us here on the show. And the first highlight you hear in our montage, wow. I still don't believe it, even though I watched it. Even though I heard it after I watched it, I went back and listened to the overtime on Bruins Radio because I wanted to hear what they were saying. I found it on a podcast on SiriusXM or on demand on SiriusXM. Not only did the Florida Panthers score the tying goal in Boston in the final minute of regulation, but they are able to get the game winner in sudden death in hostile territory and complete a rally that was completely unlikely and about as damn near impossible as you can imagine. But it's sports, and we see the impossible pretty routinely. Congratulations to the Panthers. What a year they've had, right? They were the President's Trophy winners a year ago. They barely survived the opening round and then got swept by the Lightning. Now, a year later, the Bruins, not only the President's Trophy winners with the best record in the regular season, that doesn't mean a ton, though it at least gives you home ice advantage. But the Panthers take out a Bruins team that will forever, at least for now, until another team comes along, that will remain in the history books for this season as the team that won more games than any other and accumulated more points than any other team in NHL history. And the Panthers were down 3-1 in this series. Had to win 3 in a row. 2 of them in Boston. No, that is not supposed to happen. You should see the goofy look on my face and also producer Jay's, because we still can't believe what we saw. Steph, okay, he constantly raises the bar. And no, the Colorado Avalanche weren't anywhere near as good as they were last year. They never really found that rhythm. It was a bit of a roller coaster ride for them all the way through the regular season. Though it's still difficult to play in Denver with banners hanging in the rafters. But the Panthers? Down 3-1. They have to make a goalie change. Speaking of goalie changes, we'll get to Boston's perspective there. But they have to make a goalie change. They have to win in Boston just to send the series back to Florida. They end up multiple times in this series being so close to elimination, so close And yet, what you have to do is stay alive. What you have to do is survive to get to the next day and the next game and the next opportunity. And boy, it felt like the Florida Panthers were in one of those old westerns where you're dodging bullets left and right. The Bruins just never did deliver the one fatal shot. This is the Bruins. But beyond the fact that it's the Bruins with so much history and so much championship pedigree, when you think about the guys that are on that roster, from Patrice Bergeron, who is the longest tenured athlete in Boston now at 37 years old, he was the last man on the ice because he doesn't know if he'll return, and the fans didn't know either. That was the only thing that shook them out of their stupor after the Panthers got the overtime goal. But Brad Marchand as well. Guys that have so much experience in these situations, these pressure-packed, pressure cooker situations. But that's not the only thing that matters. Sometimes when you have nothing to lose, as humans, as teammates, when you've got nothing to lose, it can be powerful against a team that has everything to lose and all the weight on its shoulders.
I poke bears.
Oh, we've got a little something-something for you, Dylan Brooks. What a weekend. I hope that wherever you were, you did not have the, and I'm not exaggerating, 2.5 days of nothing but rain. Most of it torrential. I know good portions of the East Coast and the Northeast had the same thing. I couldn't get a run in even if I tried. I have a half marathon in a week. I'm going to have to run on my treadmill in my Syracuse hotel on Monday because we had thunder and lightning and torrential downpours most of Saturday and Sunday. So it was a good weekend to stay in and watch sports as well as Star Wars. May the 4th is on the horizon. I have a fourth grader in my Sunday school class who loves Star Wars, so we connect. And I mentioned May the 4th in class on Sunday morning, and he broke out of this big grin. It was so cute. Aaron, he's one of my favorite fourth graders, loves Star Wars. Who would have thought someone as old as me could connect with a fourth grader over Star Wars? I'm such a nerd, but also love, love, love that we get to be the first voice that you hear coming out of the weekend and heading into Monday, May 1st. What a day. What a weekend. We've got a lot more to get to. I'm not even sure the NFL draft is in the center ring of the circus, much less a side act. Sorry, NFL. Wah, wah, wah. Game one of the Knicks and the Heat. Also, the Toronto Maple Leafs. How about the Lakers? We've got a lot to talk about. And as we get through the first round, we have one more game in the NHL, one more game seven on Monday, and then we are officially through the first round of both the hoops and hockey playoffs. April is constant chaos. And oh, I just decided it would be a good idea to throw a class into the mix. My first ever run as a professor. Good. It's a great idea. Why not? Why didn't someone tell me? Remind me. Oh, and training for a half marathon. Also a great idea. Why not? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope you had a great weekend. Whether you watched all of the sports or you didn't, we are here and can't wait to talk about it. I'd love to have you find us on social media, whether it's Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page. Most unbelievable playoff upsets in sports. Whether you witnessed them or you didn't, you just read about them, you watched highlights, you weren't on the planet, whatever it is. Most unbelievable, improbable playoff upsets in sports history. I would instantly go to the Virginia Cavaliers becoming the top seed to lose, the only top seed at the time to lose in March Madness. I think most of them will end up being professional sports, but they don't have to be. So again, on Twitter or Facebook, really excited to listen to those critical, unforgettable moments, but also to hear the reaction from the athletes themselves. NBA TV is rerunning the Kings-Warriors game right now. Every time I look up, there are more highlights from the Kraken and the Panthers. And again, that was just Sunday. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. At some point during this show, we're going to get a Florida Panthers perspective from one of their insiders. But straight ahead, a game seven for the ages, a game seven for the Warriors that maybe shouldn't surprise you, although given how they played on the road and the egg they laid in game six, there had to be some trepidation with the Warriors fan base. Steph Curry raises the bar again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Curry cuts down the lane, bounce pass Draymond, left-hand layup, good for Draymond Green. The Warriors lead by nine.
Curry with a dribble at midcourt.
Runs over, gets doubled, pass over to Clay. Clay, a deep three, right side, good! And a foul! Curry now with seven boards, second leading rebounder for the Warriors. Curry, dribble drive, goes all the way in, floats it high off the glass, it's up and good. 95-81, Warriors lead by 14, their biggest lead of the night right now. 97-83, Curry holding his pivot foot, dribbles on Murray, takes a quick three, it's up and good! Curry knocked it down! He's got 43. Draymond gets the inbounds back to Curry, takes a three, and hits it with the buzzer sounding. Are you kidding me? Curry will bring it up. Curry drives, scores. He's got 50. A 50-point playoff game for Stephen Curry in a game seven.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on Warriors Radio. I always enjoy listening to them. And speaking of history, boy, has Tim seen a ton of it with the Warriors. But Steph Curry raises the bar and ups the ante once again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A couple of firsts for Steph Curry himself. Not only is he the first NBA player in league history to ever pour in 50 in a playoff game. No one has ever done that. If I remember correctly, the old record was set by Kevin Durant in 2021 in a losing effort against the Milwaukee Bucks. So that was Kevin Durant with the Nets. Weirdly enough, he's only with the Nets for 5 minutes, but he ends up at the time setting an NBA record for most points in a game seven, but they lost.
Who cares? Most
points ever in a game seven. The only player ever to have 50 in a game seven, Steph Curry. In addition, he takes 38 shots. Did you notice as you're watching this game how he conserves energy? He has become a master at bursts of energy when he desperately needs them. And I know he's changed his fitness. He's certainly changed the way that he takes care of his physical body because he wants to be able to withstand the rigors of not just a long season and playoff runs, but also the heavy minutes he's carrying. They did not get much from their bench in this game at all, which is very atypical of the Golden State Warriors generally. Steve Kerr likes to have a whole second unit that he can rely on. Steph played heavy minutes. He has 30 in the second half alone. He continually drove into the lane. Did you know his 22 points in the paint are the most ever for Steph Curry? He's never had that many points in a paint in any game. Name a game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Seven triples, three missed free throws that I'm sure will irk him. Not something that you generally get with him. Also had eight rebounds and six assists and cute question in the post-game press conference.
Who can stop Steph Curry?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
That's fun. Now, it wasn't just Steph. It really wasn't just Steph, though he is the flashy, kind of sexy headline always because he's the MVP. He's got rings and blings everywhere you look. But I'm telling you what, Kevon Looney was the key to winning this series. How many times have I told you offensive rebounds are sexy? Kevon Looney was a thorn in the side of the Sacramento Kings. Do you know in this series of the seven games, three times he went over 20 rebounds? What, that's Dennis Rodman-like. That's Moses Malone-like. Kevon Looney with 21 rebounds in this game, 10 of them coming in the third quarter. I actually, as I say, I was listening to Tim and Tom for a while, and Tom made a joke that it actually would be better for the Warriors to keep missing free throws because Kevon Looney kept getting the offensive rebounds. Yeah, they missed a lot of free throws. I was worried that this game was going to be a 1 or 2 point final and that either the Kings or the Warriors would look back and think, you've got to be kidding me. We left so many points on the board. And they did. The Warriors missed 11 free throws, 8 of them in the third quarter alone. I believe fatigue was a factor there. And then the Kings missed 11 free throws as well. So I kind of worried that that would be a factor. As it turned out, because of the way the Warriors played in the second half, and it was their defense, it was their rebounding, but it was also the lack of offense for the Kings. They looked shell-shocked to me in the third quarter. They could not hit the broadside of the barn, and they couldn't generate any offense elsewhere. The number of times that they just chucked up a three-pointer and ducked and ran the other direction. So yes, there were more rebounds available because there were fewer made shots in the second half. Sacramento only managed 23 points in the third quarter, which is really where this game turned. Only 19 in the fourth quarter when they still had a fighting chance. And so the Warriors used their experience, their poise. That playoff core, they are impervious to pressure. Steph, Klay, even though Klay was ticked at himself because he shot really poorly. Draymond Green. Even Andrew Wiggins now is a grizzled veteran because he was part of their championship run last year. Kevon Looney, I don't recall, I'd have to go back and look the number of years he spent with them, but he's been part of some really impressive runs too. So Kevon ends up with a double-double, 11 points, 21 rebounds, 4 assists as well. And Steph has the big 5-0. Man, what a tandem for the Warriors in this Game 7.
I think the first two things that come to mind are Steph Curry having 50 points in a Game 7. Never been done before. Incredible. And Kevon Looney just keeps doing it every game. 21 boards tonight, 10 offensive. I thought he controlled much of the game with his offensive boards. I think Looney is one of the best centers in the league. I really do. And people don't recognize it because he's not dunking and shooting threes and all that stuff. But this guy is a flat-out winner, and he's a machine. And we wouldn't be here without him.
So for Steph Curry and for Kevon Looney, they're the headliners. But the history is definitely there. The Warriors continue to piece together this incredible resume in the postseason. What have we been saying? They're the toughest out in sports. Jay actually told you that they're going to win the NBA championship, which I don't know about that, but they gave the Kings all they could handle, and so much of it came down to the Kings' lack of experience. They got rattled. They couldn't find a way to stop the run of the Warriors. Now, that's a problem that a lot of NBA teams have, so there's no shame in that. But this is such an incredible building block and a platform for them too. But I think you noticed Domantas Sabonis disappeared in this series. De'Aaron Fox running into the defense of the Warriors. Even Malik Monk seemingly running out of gas. But I love the relationship between Steve Kerr and Mike Brown, who, of course, was part of their championship run last year as an assistant coach. And the way that the Warriors were so gracious about what Brown is building in Sacramento.
To Mike and his staff and his team, they were incredible. Had an amazing season. And this was a fantastic series. I mean, just great basketball for seven games. Frankly, a much better season than we have. We've been kind of up and down all year, as you know, and they put together a whole season where they just became a contender. And the young talent, the coaching, it was impressive to watch and really difficult to play against.
You got to give those guys a lot of credit, starting with the head of the snake, Mike Brown. To come to an organization that hasn't seen the playoffs in 16 years and put the team together or bring the team together the way he did is absolutely incredible. So you give Mike Brown credit. De'Aaron Fox, being the head of the snake from a player's perspective, led his guys, tough player. You know, one of the futures of this league. And, you know, this won't be the last we see of Fox. This won't be the last we see of the Kings. You know, they're headed in the right direction, and you got to give them a lot of credit. So it was I'm honored to have played in that series, to play in this hostile environment. The fans were incredible. You know, as I continue to progress in my career, you appreciate these moments. You know, you appreciate fan bases like this, loud before the game, loud when the game starts, loud after the game. You have a strong appreciation for environments like this. So I'm very thankful to have played in this series. It was a fun one for us.
We wish we were still playing, but this is part of the sport. We'll be better from this experience going forward. Our guys are definitely hurting right now, which obviously they should be. But I got a lot of gratitude for every man in that locker room, not just the players, but the medical performance staff, the coaching staff, and everybody else in the front office. The organization was terrific this year. And, you know, again, you wish you could have gotten more, especially for the city and for the fans. But nobody in our organization should be dropping their heads right now.
Mike Brown, front row seat for how to build a franchise that is a championship contender and a winner year after year after year, which is one reason why we know that he takes all the right tools and intel and perspective to Sacramento. And boy, did it make a major difference in his first year as a head coach. But this is the Warriors. And their game 7 on Sunday was playoff win number 100 in the last decade. Think about that. There is no shortcut to experience. And now what do we get? LeBron and Steph. This time it's the Lakers versus the Warriors in a playoff series. But the Lakers are playing some gray basketball. So a little bit later on, we'll hear from Steph Curry about another head-to-head with LeBron James in the postseason. Still have to get to Knicks and Heat, speaking of playoff experience. As much as the Heat were bewitching all season long and befuddling, as much as they confused me, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde-like, they also have a ton of playoff experience and the grit. But starting with the head coach, Eric Spoelstra, running through Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, vintage Kyle off the bench on Sunday, plus Jimmy Butler and the other guys who have been part of their recent runs. Just no shortcut to experience. And when it comes to this time of the year, you cannot put a price tag on having been there, done that. And the Warriors have done it once again. On Twitter, A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, just getting started with our show question of the night. What are the most improbable, unbelievable upsets in sports history? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. This will be the theme tonight. Game sevens, history, redemption, stunning upsets, jaw droppers. Really excited. It kind of feels like the same buzz and electricity around an NFL Sunday night with everything that we've got. As we say, sayonara, April, and hello to the month of May. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Right circle, Zaka. He's got DeBrusque all alone. Center point, Orlov, near side, Krejci. Shoots, he scores! David Krejci from the left on a low blast that finds the inside post. Bruins on the board. Panthers 2 and the Bruins 1. A power play goal. 25 seconds left in the power play. Center point, Orlov. Shoots, he scores! The first goal by a Bruins defenseman in the series is a power play snipe. Carlo with a step over the line right side. Long blast. Bobrovsky kicks out the rebound. They score! David Pastrnak in the far circle took that juicy rebound and drilled it by Bobrovsky. The Bruins with their first lead in Game 7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Judd Surratt on Bruins Radio. Can you hear the garden losing its mind behind Judd? This was a rally that the Bruins were waiting for, that their fans were expecting. All would be right with the world. All would be forgiven if the Bruins could hang on and win this series, despite coughing up a 3-1 lead, despite losing Game 5 in Boston, if they could beat the Panthers in Game 7, clean slate moving forward, and a matchup against the Maple Leafs waiting. Whoa, talk about a Stanley Cup. A Stanley Cup steak. A Stanley Cup steak dinner? How about that? There we go. It took me a second, but I got you. As in big old juicy steak dinner, but the Florida Panthers had something else in mind. That's what stands out to me, though, as I watched the game and then listened. Again, I went back and listened to the Bruins radio network in overtime. I picked it up on demand in overtime so I could hear their perspective. The garden was crazed. Some relief mixed in there, but definitely the wild emotion that comes along with being a Bruins fan or a Boston sports fan and having expectations. A team with 65 regular season wins, 135 points, both now etched in the history books. Finally comes back to take the lead early in the third period. They'd been dominating on the power play. They appeared to have all the momentum on their side. Except momentum is fleeting in sports, and it's definitely fleeting in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Matthew Tkachuk over to Verhaeghe, far boards, Barkov at the line, Barkov long shot, didn't get through, Montour shot, he scores! Brandon Montour let it rip from the near circle, that may have been deflected on the way, the Panthers have tied the game at 3, with 59.3 seconds to go, Brandon Montour let it rip, this game is tied, and you could hear a pin drop in TD Garden, my goodness, the Panthers have tied this game with under a minute to go.
On the Florida Panthers radio network, he's right. The contrast was so sharp, so stark from what it had been just minutes before as the Bruins are seemingly headed toward a first round playoff win and a date with Toronto, that steak dinner, if you will. Instead, Brandon Montour gets a rebound and puts it home. Under a minute to go in the third period. Wow. That alone was stunning. Oh, but for the Panthers and their fan base, it was just the beginning.
Back behind the net, Matthew Tkachuk gets there first, then he's upended back behind the goal. Loose puck behind the net, loose at the side of the net. Jamming away is Tkachuk with Bennett along the near boards. Bennett finds it to the circle. Verhaeghe shot, top shelf, he scores! Carter Verhaeghe, top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime! The Panthers stun the Bruins in Boston, and the Panthers are moving on to round two! Carter Verhaeghe, the Panthers have won it in overtime! 4-3 the final! The Panthers take game seven, and they're moving on!
Kezzy made a great play and came to the bench. I mean, it was a good change in the ozone. And then I saw Benny and Chucky battling back there, and they made a great play to me. I think Benny passed it to me, and I just looked up and shot the puck, and just happy to see it go in. I mean, it felt really good.
Carter Verhaeghe. Remember the name, Carter Verhaeghe. It is certainly impressive that no matter what the Bruins threw at the Panthers, the Panthers managed to keep moving forward. Now, every now and then, I suppose they'd be skating in place a little bit, but they were never flummoxed. They were never panicked. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again going into the weekend. Pressure becomes so much heavier and so much weightier and so much more of a factor when a heavy favorite allows an upstart, a challenger, a pretender, if you will, if we're talking contender versus pretender, allowing that pretender, these pretending Panthers, to stick around. The deeper they got in the series, the more confidence the Panthers had, the more they felt like they were playing with house money, the more the Bruins could feel that weight. Verhaeghe into traffic, 8.5 minutes into overtime. And now I didn't remember this, but I was reading, of course, and studying. It was Verhaeghe who capped a game six overtime winner that got them past the Capitals last year. So remember we talked about they were the President's Trophy winners against the Capitals, but it was a tough series. Game six goes into overtime, and he has the sudden death winner. And that ended what was at the time 26 years of failure and futility in the Panthers' playoff history, only to be ousted in the next round by a more experienced Lightning team. So there were changes. Not Carter Verhaeghe, but there were changes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Paul Maurice, he was one of the changes after last year's early playoff exit.
I don't think you can find a harder team to play against than the Boston Bruins. They're just that good. There isn't a weakness in their game. So they will test you in all parts, right? Their power play is just so dynamic. So it's a proving ground that you get to keep, certainly for our next game, which is most important, but you get to keep that for a while. The players here now have a shared experience of what hard is. And we'll cut that video and we'll keep that video and we'll use it at training camp and it'll make us better for 5 years.
It's interesting because you hear this sometimes in college sports where there's a major upset and it's a stunner, or a team wins a championship, sure. But for a smaller school, like, say, Furman, who comes up with an enormous upset in March Madness, something that, well, would have been a nice story, you do not expect. Not only does it put your school on the map, but it boosts your recruiting and your enrollment for years. A March Madness win, that's what it can do for an entire school, an entire university. And what Paul Maurice is saying is that this type of a win, this type of a series win, is not only culture building, but it can propel your franchise forward in ways that you could never buy. It attracts attention. It speaks of potential. It gives you a platform to build on, but it also, it makes your franchise one that great talent will consider. That's certainly been the case for the Bruins for a lot of years. Now, I know they lost to the St. Louis Blues a few years ago in the Stanley Cup final. That one has some similarities with the Panthers. We'll talk about it next hour with our Panthers insider, George Richards. The Bruins had everything to lose, and they don't know about the future of 37-year-old Patrice Bergeron, who was the last man on the ice waving to the fans once this game was done.
It hurts, you know. It's what it is. You know, you compete hard and you battle all year for that. So it's hard.
We obviously expected much different results this year and the series, and you know, unfortunately that didn't happen. This one's going to hurt for a long time. It's tough, you know. We were hoping to make a good long run here all together, and you know, it's tough for everybody.
Brad Marchand, another long-tenured Bruin, he actually had this quote in March before the playoffs began. It's not about the regular season. If you win the President's Trophy but you don't win the Cup, nobody cares. That's what we know on this team. One more from Brandon Montour, who had that, well, the tire, the great equalizer at the end of regulation. Does the team even understand how big this is?
You know, I think guys actually haven't even thought of it, to be honest. I heard a couple guys just, you know, it's kind of speechless right now. But, you know, like I said, they have a heck of a, you know, group there. Kudos to them on their season. And, you know, we just move on to the next and, you know, enjoy this one and, you know, get the Toronto.
Matthew Tkachuk said, "We were 2 minutes away from being in a very sad mood. But Montour pulled us through. We live to fight another day." Man, think about the roller coaster of emotions. You're 1 minute away from your season being done. Now, the Panthers would have no reason to hang their heads because they actually forced a game 7 in Boston and had a 2-goal lead against the Bruins on Sunday. But that's the problem. You can taste it when you're that close. Just happy to be here doesn't work when you know you had the opportunity. But they pull defeat from the jaws of victory. No, they pull victory from the jaws of defeat. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.